What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 29th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Troy and Abid in the morning. That is a community reference for Troy Melton as the SP Roundup lead. 7 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. This game was going on right when I hit publish on the list. And I put him inside the top 60. I actually had him removed and put all the way down to 99 once with the Chris Paddock news came out. And then Reese Olson is out for the year, so then I moved him all the way back up. And I was anticipating that Troy Melton would be far better than we saw in the MLB debut. Why? Because he throws 97. Because he has many secondaries. Splitter, cutter, curveball, slider. And he has a lot of strikes with those pitches. This was actually a game of 70% strikes across everything with just a 3.4% NC rate, non-competitive rate. That is essentially 4 non-competitive pitches. Actually, I want to say it's 3 non-competitive pitches across the 87 that he threw. Just 3. And this is a guy with 97 mile per hour. He had a 1.3 height adjusted VAA with above average extension. Actually gets a 7 feet of extension on his sinker. Oh yeah, I didn't mention that one before. It's really cool. It is rare to see starters throw this hard, 97, with good command of it, with intent to go upstairs, and it's an above average four seamer, not empty velocity as I've called other ones. And it also having a whiffable slider and other secondaries. He has splitter for outs. He had a curveball that kind of wants back against Corbin Carroll. He has that sinker to go inside to right-handers. He has this cutter as well that he throws hard, and I wish he threw more of them at 91 miles per hour, 83% strikes. It is just not common to see this kind of combination. It's what I got really excited about with Cole Reagans back in the day, though Reagans was a little bit more exciting on the whiffability of what he had. That is the one negative I have of Troy Melton, is that I do feel that this four-seamer, if it isn't located well, it does not have the movement. It's only 13 inches of vert, and the flat attack angle is good, but only if it's upstairs. So if he does get that lower, it is more hittable than, say, like Cole Reagans' fastball. And also, the slider is not as devastating as that changeup has been, right? So for Reagans, that's really the difference, I think, between them. But I think this guy's great. I think he's going to be in this rotation for a while. I don't like that he gets, I believe, the Angels and the Cubs in his next two starts with Detroit, assuming that they don't get another starter at the deadline that pushes him out. They shouldn't. So I am in for the long haul here. I'm in for the next 2 months, and I would say, look, don't think about the short term of those two games right now, because I feel like he could still even do well against them. It's Angels and Phillies. He can still do well against them. And Troy Melton, I think, is going to be very productive throughout August and September. All right, Andre Pallante against the Marlins, 7 innings of 0 runs. Koufax helped him a ton here. Lots of four-seamers over the plate, only 4 Ks, 2 base runners. He got the win. Slider had a 48% strike rate. I mean, no, you don't want to go after that. Bradley Blaylock did well away from Coors against the Guardians, fine. But 0 runs and 6 hits, 0 walks, 7 Ks. Like, you're not going to trust Bradley Blaylock, and that's that. You have Jack Kochanowicz against the Rangers. Yeah, he had 6 walks in 4.2 innings. 0 runs, but yeah, no, you don't want to trust that. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, ace is going to ace, 7 innings of 9 Ks, 1 run. And I got the win in Cincinnati, 6 base runners. He's amazing. It's great. It's only once a week, which is kind of annoying, but doesn't matter. Luis Castillo, interesting start here. This was in Sacre Verde, that is at Athletics, and he got a win. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks, just 6 whiffs, a 22% CSW. What's going on? If you followed my coverage of Castillo across the season, I've noted a lot how his fastballs are doing all of the work. Mostly it's been the four-seamer. And the changeup and slider are not the pitches they used to be. We've seen moments where the slider does well against righties, but it's only when he's absolutely precise with it, like that game against the Yankees that I watched with Eno. And this was another game of just four-seamers doing the work, but it was with sinkers as well. Good pitch separation between them. 94.7 on a very low extension fastball without good movement. It is a little bit of a flat attack angle for that four-seamer, but this should not be performing as well as it does, in my view. And with the secondary still not performing well, I feel like the steep decline is still on the horizon. I'd be worried about this. I would be trading him in my fantasy leagues. I don't think that Castillo is going to be that rock, as he's nicknamed, down the stretch for your fantasy leagues. I could be very wrong. So as long as the four-seamer and the sinker can be commanded like this, I think you're going to be fine. But still, even here with 6 whiffs and 22% CSW for Castillo's fastballs, and I'm absolutely not in on him for 2026. Edward Cabrera against the Cardinals and likely his last start from Miami. There is no list curse, y'all. He was the featured image of the list yesterday. 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and just 4 strikeouts. But we'll take this, absolutely, except it's a loss. And wherever he gets traded to, two things should be the case. One, he should have a higher win chance. And two, he should have a better defense behind him. The Marlins don't have a great defense. So be encouraged about Cabrera moving forward. In addition, we still see the four-seamer as a number 5 pitch. And the changeup getting a major focus is a great thing. 72% strikes on that, as the most thrown offering at 23% usage, is fantastic. 36% CSW. Cabrera isn't a very good groove. I still feel annoyed watching that he struggles with a lot of his secondaries. He's battling himself a lot. And I really hope that changes over time. Framber Valdez, ace is going to ace with a golden goal. 22 whiffs and 38% CSW. Incredible. I mean, absolutely just bonkers. 12 strikeouts in this one. The curveball is so good. 12 of his strikeouts, 12 on the curve. 12 of his strikeouts all came on the curve. I mean, I don't know what I was saying there, but you understand the point. The curveball is insane. 17 whiffs, oh my gosh. It's what we saw at the end of last year with Valdez, and then he didn't have it in April for, and I think it's a bit of May, but then he's just been absurd since. We have Brad Lord against the Astros. Got the gold star because I really expected nothing here. 5.1 innings of 1 run, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. Of course, Koufax helped him a lot here. But his best pitches, really, I think, is a sinker. It's nearly 19 inches of run on that at 95 miles per hour. He does have a four-seamer that has about 17 inches of run at about 95 to 96. And it's a little weird to see Brad Lord just throw this 12 times. He had 4 outs on that pitch. I feel like it's a very efficient one. You should be throwing that more. Meanwhile, the slider is 1-for-17 on whiffs with a sub 50% strike rate. So you don't want to go with that. All of this with Brad Lord. Against a right-handed offense, too, that should play as good as possible for him, you got 2 strikeouts and you needed some Koufax luck here to escape. So yeah, you don't want to go after Brad Lord. Davis Martin against the Phillies got the win. 5.2 innings, 2 runs, but 6 hits and 3 walks. 7 strikeouts, 14 whiffs. What do we make of this? Should we be going after it? I don't think so. I think Davis Martin overperformed a little bit with his four-seamer. I also believe that the changeup did do generally well down, but it wasn't as consistent as we've seen. The cutter did not earn enough strikes. It was essentially a moment where when he did throw those strikes on the cutter and changeup, they did return outs or they were beneficial in a major way. They weren't taken advantage of when they were missed over the plate. But I don't think that Davis Martin has this package neatly wrapped with a bow. And I'm happy he did well, but I do not want to go after this, especially while pitching for the White Sox and against the Angels next. Not really into that. Maybe the Guardians after that game. Spencer Strider against the Royals got the win. 5 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. And you're realizing, wait a second, that's a 3.6 ERA with a win. Fine, but a 1.8 whip and 3 walks. Not cool. He had 5 whiffs and 18% CSW on 96 pitches. Spencer Strider. Why? 94.9 velocity on the four-seamer. Oh boy. 1/36 whiffs there. 3/32 on the slider. It's the second straight game where we haven't seen slider dominance from Spencer Strider. Yeah, be scared. I will give him massive credit to survive despite having his below average ability, right? I still don't think it's going to last. I think we're going to see some blowups from Strider very soon. Drew Rasmussen against the Yankees. He gave us 5 innings, and guess what? That came with a win. 2 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Yeah, 120 is not really the whip you want. A 3.6 ERA, 5 strikeouts are 5 strikeouts. That's kind of the high expectation now because we got 5 innings. We got 81 pitches. It's not, oh, it's only 5. We wish we were 6. We kind of know it's going to be at max 5 now, which is why I dropped him on the list to about like 80 or so. I'm not saying that he isn't productive. He clearly is in some way. It's just a really low ceiling. It's a good chance for that ceiling more so than others. But yeah, Drew Rasmussen isn't a must hold in my leagues. If you are going for wins, though, it is kind of interesting that he can find himself a lot of wins despite just going five innings. J.P. Sears against the Mariners. He had his best commanded game I think I've ever seen from Sears last game. And so what did he do in Sacramento? 4.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. Yeah, no, this was not the changeup that we saw in a smattering of four-seamers and sweepers all together in the upper half. It was just, all right, it's a standard chaos from Sears and not really what I want. We have other guys to talk about from Slay Cicchone and Chase Burns, Richard Fitz, Jacob Mizorowski, and many others. We'll talk about all of them and more after this break. Richard Fitz against the Twins. 4 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Very underwhelming. Only 6 whiffs, but then again, 58 pitches. Oh, come on, Boston. Let him go. Richard Fitz is pretty dang good. He throws 96-97. He has good command to keep that upstairs. It certainly did that against lefties. Curveball was also down. It wasn't the best curveball. He allowed a few too many hits on that. Fine, but he kept it down. And then, unfortunately, against righties, he only had 50% strikes with his four-seamer and slider and sweeper and sinker, really. It's not what you wanted, but then 58 pitches for 4 innings. Just let him keep going. I don't know what the Red Sox are going to do with Fitz post-trade deadline. Are they going to get another guy? Are they going to keep leaning into him? I hope they do. Please let him at least go 75 pitches. If he gets the Astros next, I think he can do well. I think he has a good enough slider and curve and sweeper and four-seamer to do that. Yeah, let him do it. Jacob Mizorowski against the Cubs, 4 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. He's still got 7 strikeouts. And yeah, the ratios are not fun at all. That's a 4.5 ERA with a 1.25 whip. But it was the Cubs, and his 4-seamer was still incredible. He did get fouled off a lot with that pitch. 30% foul balls on the 4-seamer is a high mark. Normally we see like 20% or so, maybe 22% on 4-seamer. So 30% is high, which is two things. One, that means the secondaries aren't feared enough, and that is right. The slider was only 58% strikes. If it was more so and trusted more, then the Cubs wouldn't be able to just go after that fastball. But it is actually surprising because he was still at 99 with an incredibly flat attack angle with absurd extension, 7.6 feet, 2 feet more than Luis Castillo. And I'm amazed that the Cubs were able to do that at least. So I think that Mizorowski is just generally going to go 5 innings or so. 80 pitches. Yeah, he was able to do it. And 7 strikeouts in this one. The ratio should be even better than this. He had 14 whiffs on those 80 pitches. I think you just got to do it because he's just too good. Slay Cicchone against Rocky Road. 7 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks without a win because Kate Smith, replacing Emmanuel Clase as a closer, gave up tons of runs in the ninth and ruined this one. So it's not really a great outing. It is generally fine. It is fine. 8 base runners, 7 innings. That's a good whip. ERA is not really that great. He got 3 strikeouts, whatever. He gets the Mets next. I don't want to start Slade there. He gets the White Sox after that. Fine, but that's going to be, what, 12 days away on August 10th? I don't want to stash Slade Cicchone for that. There's no reason. He's not that good, guys. Chase Burns against the Dodgers. Got 10 strikeouts for the third straight game. 5.2 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk. He had some trouble in the previous inning in the fourth, and then in the fifth, and then he couldn't get out of the sixth. He had 2 runners on. Fortunate that the Reds came in and alleviated that for him. No inherited runs there. He is your standard four-seamer slider type. So that is like his teammate Hunter Green, really. Spencer Strider, Jared Jones, that kind of thing. And I am surprised to say that he had 12 whiffs on his four-seamer in this one, as that really isn't a big whiff pitch generally. So I'm encouraged by that, but I don't like the fact that he really isn't doing much more with his arsenal, right? There isn't much improvement there. He's constantly allowing too many hits and these earned runs that are annoying, but then again, it's the Dodgers, so fine. We just keep rolling with Chase Burns. Simeon Woods Richardson against the Red Sox. Away from Fenway, but it wasn't good because it's Simeon Woods Richardson. Don't go after him. Just don't do that. Cam Schlittler was very annoying. 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. But 17 whiffs, 30% CSW. He actually had a 67% strike rate, but it was 4 walks. That's actually something I see more so from rookies than veterans. Why? Because they break under the pressure more. They don't execute when they need to make the quick adjustment. That is one of the reasons why veterans are veterans, is that they've been in the league and know the little things to do inside of at-bats to ensure that they don't walk guys as frequently. Now, Cam is still figuring this out. What I am a little annoyed about is that he went 70% four-seamers, and his secondaries had enough strikes in them that he could have done this. They were hit more often, though. Five hits of those seven were off of either the slider or the curve, and I wish he had a little bit better command of it. He has not shown me a game yet where Cam has located those breaking balls down in the lower third. Just doesn't really happen too much. So it's a little bit frustrating at the moment. That said, the four-seamer is at 98. He averaged that in his debut, then it was like 97 and change in the second one, and now it's again 98. Like, I thought we were going to see down to 96, 97. We're not. It is doing incredibly well. 13 whiffs on this one. 32% CSW. You just need those secondaries that made me excited because you throw those for strikes. You need to make those better. They can't just be floating up there. Mitch Keller against the Giants went two innings on 73 pitches. Three runs, five hits, three walks, and three Ks. I can't believe they let him throw 73 pitches in two innings when he's been mentioned in the trade talks. I mean, he might stick around at the end of the day. I don't really think he's that great, so I wouldn't be trading for him, but that's me. Christopher Sanchez against the White Sox, 6.2 innings of four runs, 7 hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. He allowed a pair of two-run shots. That's it. You know how good he is from the last start. He didn't do well in this one because of those two home runs, so it goes. At least he went 6.2 innings to make those four runs not hurt as much as, say, a guy who goes five innings or so. Carson Wisenhunt and Carson Seymour both pitched in this game against the Pirates for the Giants. I am not impressed by either one, and I mentioned that in my streaming ranks. I mentioned that in the list notes as well. Five innings, four runs, five hits, two walks, and three Ks for this debut for Wisenhunt. He just doesn't do enough. I was a little surprised by the fastball being at 17 inches of vert. It was labeled as a sinker, whatever, but the changeup was not located well. It needs to be far better to be really the pitch for Wisenhunt, as the slider it's a slider, I guess. And the fastball at 92 with that vert just isn't, that's not enough. You also had Seymour, who does throw a lot harder, 96, 97, but they don't have anything else to add. They don't have good vert. They don't have great run. They don't have a good height adjusted VA. It's very steep at 0.4, I believe it was. And you have middling extension, like 6.6 or so. And then you have a gyro slider at 87, 88. Like, that's really it. I'm not too interested in that from Seymour. I could see that being a little more impressive because, yeah, if you throw 97 and with a gyro slider, like, that can be a 1-2 punch that could work out a lot more than Wisenhunt. But both of them, I think, are just not doing enough with the, yeah, they don't have enough juice in their arsenal to target for our 12-teamers. And probably not for our 15 teams, but if Seymour does get the chance for 15s, I would pay attention to that. Maybe Wisenhunt eventually turns into that crafty lefty Toby, but not yet. Zach Eflin against the Jays, 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Yeah, it was against the Jays. We don't really want to go with Eflin against the Jays. He also had to endure one of the worst called balls I've ever seen with a fastball down the pipe getting called a ball. Don't get it at all. I know it wasn't the greatest frame, but seriously, how can you miss that? He gets the Cubs next. I don't really think I want to do that for Eflin, but then it should be pretty easy the rest of the way for Eflin from there, and he will be a Toby that you'd want on your teams. Rich Hill didn't do well because he shouldn't have done well in the first one. It was four innings of four runs and six walks. Yeah, you don't want that. Of course you don't. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Tigers. He did not have a good line. Six innings, five runs, two walks and five Ks. However, the changeup was where it really should be against right-handers. That's a good sign. Now he gets the Athletics in Sacramento next. I don't like it, but we get Rocky Road after that, and I would go after that one, especially if the changeup is looking as it did here in the next start. Jacob DeGrom, very disappointing. We have actually a trio of very disappointing starts now. With Jacob DeGrom, aces going to allow 5 runs in 5.1 innings, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts against the Angels. They've had his number, apparently, and this was, again, surprising because you have DeGrom who should destroy right-handers with that slider and four-seamer. He missed out of the zone on that slider more often than usual, and he also had too many leak over the plate, and they got him. 52% strike rate of right-handers is just abysmal, especially for DeGrom, who's really a command-focused guy. So you brush it off, you move on. Same with Matthew Boyd, who had an anomaly of a game when it came to his four-seamer control. 43% strike rate and a 14% non-competitive rate is just shocking against right-handers on this. He just got the ball too far inside, and then when he got it over the plate, it allowed the only home run he allowed all day. Five walks in this one, right? Like, this is a weird one, and it's not injured because 94 on the four-seamer, not 92, 93. Don't worry. It's just one of those days. It was bound to happen. Dylan Cease against the Mets. I know you are enraged if you have Dylan Cease, and I've been saying, hey, look, you got to stick with him. And you're like, Nick, I can't do it. If you can't do it, just don't do it. What I like to think about is, let's say you don't have Dylan Cease for a moment. If you were dropped in your leagues, I guarantee you people are picking him up. Right? I mean, you just don't have the emotional attachment to it. Well, that was in the past. I'm going to look at the future. That's how you should be every single time. Think of every single player on your team as someone that you have the option first to select off the wire, right? Anyway, Dylan Cease went 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 5 walks, and 9 Ks. And I said this about Luzardo before, and it's pretty much the same thing here. Dylan Cease had a 3-2 count with the bases loaded and 2 outs at the end of the 5th. It was his 102nd pitch, and he threw a 97-mile-per-hour fastball right on the black away. It was like middle up, and Mark Vientos, that one went oppo taco for a grand slam. So that changes it to like, let's say that's a flyout, right? Then it's 5 innings of 1 earned run. It's still 1.8 whip, and then 9 Ks. I just really like highlighting when literally one pitch, especially the last pitch they throw, completely changes the line. Like, absolutely puts it on its head and makes you feel one way or another. So I think you'd be upset about the walks, but you'd also be fine with 5 innings, 1 earned run, and 9 strikeouts, right? You wouldn't be absurdly enraged. Okay. Frankie Montas Jr. against the Padres. We're hoping he would have similar command to the last game. He did not. Splitter went 5 for 18 strikes. That's a 28% clip. That is terrible. 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, right? Like 2 walks, 3 Ks. Okay. You don't really want Frankie Montas. It's possible that he does well against the Giants. There's a chance for a win there. I think it's a 15-teamer play, not really a 12-teamer unless it's a desperate Sunday. And last, we have Chris Bassitt. Very disappointing game against the Orioles. 2.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. 9 whiffs, 23% CSW. Just under 70 pitches here. I felt like we should be rolling with Bassitt, put him on the list. Because, look, he's been going deep into games. The Jays are winning. Let him get a good win chance. And this was terrible. He gets the Royals in Toronto next. That's still okay. And then the Dodgers are after. So don't feel like you need to hold on to Chris Bassitt. Okay? He's not really that good. All right. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Don't miss on Thursday the trade show extravaganza, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday for the trade deadline, July 31st, in 2 days, with me and Paul Spohr at playback.tv/pitcherlist. It is a great time. We'll have some special guests as well. You can also watch it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/pitcherlist. Until then, and I'll be back tomorrow morning, of course, my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.